Now, grifter is a term that gets tossed around a lot nowadays. And when it comes to guys like myself who are in the alternate history community, we sure hear it all the time, myself included, although I would quickly say that Graham Hancock and Jimmy Corsetti, and there's a few other guys, probably get it a whole lot more than I do. I still get called grifter quite frequently. And the thing is, the term, it doesn't apply to me, because the deal is, a grifter is somebody who is knowingly like engaging in a small-scale swindle. Okay, that's what the dictionary definition of a grifter is. Somebody who's engaging in a small-scale swindle. And that would imply that they know they're swindling somebody. Okay? So somebody, if you believe a position and espouse it, you're not necessarily a grifter. But there are numerous people that espouse positions that they know are false. And that would, my friends, make them somebody trying to swindle their audience, just trick them a little bit. Those would be the grifters. And by the end of this video, I'm going to show you clearly that it's not guys that believe that the big rocks were moved by means that we don't understand that are the grifters. It's the guys that are going to tell you that we know how those big rocks were moved, even when we don't. Those are the grifters. And that's a metaphor. This goes across the board when it comes to professional debunkers. Professional debunkers are grifters. Don't believe me? Stop typing. Give me a few minutes. Hi, my name is Dan. Welcome to Dunking. So off the gate, let's discuss Russell's teapot. That's Bertrand Russell, the philosopher who died a couple years before I was born. He had a thought experiment that was meant to highlight where the burden of proof should fall when you're talking about two disparate groups and then one of them is espousing something that seems a little bit, you know, outside the realm of common sense or outside the realm of acceptable knowledge, right? So his idea was, if he was to say, well, there's a teapot that's orbiting the sun somewhere between the Earth and Mars, but it's too small for us to detect with a telescope, that you could be forgiven for not believing that, right? It makes sense to not believe that that's a real thing. You don't need evidence proving that it doesn't exist in order to accept that it doesn't exist or to think that it most likely is bullshit. And that's a fair position to take, and that is a, you know, that's Russell's teapot in a nutshell. And the reason that I bring this up out the gate is because it is a position that shows you can disbelieve something without saying for certain that it's wrong. And that, my friends, is a scientific position. Now, isn't it? It is a scientific position to say all the evidence isn't in yet, but we're looking into it and we currently think X, Y, or Z. That is completely scientific. But this is basically based on what do you find to be absurd. And that's a slippery slope. What I think is absurd and what you think is absurd is probably two different things. Now, this is honestly where the rubber meets the road. And if you don't believe me, tell 20 people that you found a wallet with $500 in it and that you returned it to its rightful owner. Now, see how varied the reactions to your story will be. Some will find that normal. Others will find it noble. And some, they're going to think you're full of shit because we all have different experiences, different ideas, different beliefs. You know the deal. But this matters a lot. And this is why science uses replicability and multiple people to perform experiments, because it recognizes that humans are human and we have ego and we have idealism and we will inject this into things even when we try not to. However, scientists are trained to try to not to do this. They are informed. They know that their ego is the number one problem with them seeing outside and into the world. To quote the great Sarah McLachlan, can you look out the window without your shadow getting in the way? Now, if you've watched me or anybody else in the Atlantis hunting community, you'll be well aware of the Clovis First debacle, the way the archaeology was unfairly combative towards their own colleagues who brought hard evidence that went against the old paradigm. This is well documented, and only the most ideologically driven, fundamentally egotistical people oppose this. This is well known. Clovis First was a problem. However, there are some holdouts.
It's fundamental to the issue of the peopling of the Americas.
But it's direct. It's also direct evidence of a group of archaeologists going after this one guy for saying something that turned out to be correct.
It's evidence of an academic argument, which happens, yes.
Now, this isn't grifting. This is where the slope gets slippery. I think that Flint honestly believes that, but I think that his beliefs are informed by his social pressure from his friends. I think that he feels that he needs to believe this in order to be in the right. And that can get worse and worse and worse of a slippery slope when someone tries to get one of them. This is where you get the actual grifting. I mean, we hear all the time, for example, how Plato was just making up an allegory when he talked about Atlantis, and it's touted as a factual thing. He was just making up a story. But we have no way of knowing this. These guys are just claiming they know something to be a fact when we don't know it to be a fact. And as a matter of fact, I've made arguments against this to myself. They can say that Plato thinks it's an allegory back in the day. I assume that they could read his mind. And I think that, well, sure, fine. But if Plato was trying to use Atlantis as an allegory, he would have used a place that his contemporaries, his comrades, his colleagues believed was real. So he wouldn't have picked a place that they thought was bullshit. He wouldn't have conjured up some fantasy world, some Xanadu to tell them. He would have given them something real. And so I believe that Plato knew that. But that's neither here nor there now, is it? Because I'm not going to tell you that I know for certain that's what Plato believed. But do you know what? The professional debunkers will tell you for certain that Plato believed it was an allegory. They don't know. They know they don't know. They know they don't know. But they tell you otherwise. Who's the fucking grifter? We get these professional debunkers flip-flopping. They go from telling their followers, well, we're pretty sure that this group of people belong to the Sea Peoples, to we know for a fact they belong to the Sea Peoples, depending on who they're talking to.
The Luca. The Luca were the first of the Sea Peoples mentioned in the ancient sources. Scholars believe they were most likely the Lycians of Western Anatolia.
For the Sea Peoples, besides primary sources, we have actual archaeological remains. For example, one of the tribes of the Sea Peoples, the Luca, settled in southwestern Anatolia, and we have artifacts and remains from their culture there.
And if you need some more proof that these guys are emotionally driven...
Atlantis is dead, guys. Atlantis is an idea, it's dead. And Flint Dibble, he might have killed it. He might have killed it.
Last week, we exposed the lies of Graham Hancock's first two episodes in a video which not only made it to the trending page, but is also now the first thing that comes up on YouTube if you search Ancient Apocalypse. Get absolutely dunked on, Graham Hancock.
So how did it go is the question I always get. How did it go? Well, let's see. Roll the clip.
But can we say there's no evidence for an advanced civilization in what they have studied?
In what they have studied, yes, we can say there's no evidence for an advanced civilization.
We heard from Graham Hancock that there is no evidence for his Lost Ice Age civilization. This is one of the memes that somebody sent me, and ding, 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 yeah, I feel pretty good.
These guys are emotionally based, and their words prove that better than anything I can say would. I mean, when they say Graham is wrong and we can prove it, they know they're full of shit. They can't prove Graham Hancock wrong. They can't prove that Egyptians built the pyramids. They can't prove that the Anunnaki didn't exist even. They can't prove Russell's teapot doesn't orbit between the Earth and Mars. They can't do it. All they can do is say that they doubt. It just makes sense. And that's a fair position to take. But that doesn't so shut an argument. That doesn't debunk. That just puts doubt. So that's not how they go about it. They tell you for a fact, we know there is no metallurgy in the Ice Age. And they try to tell you, this is a scientific position.
doing a lot of research. I'm here to present what I see are two clear disproofs of a lost advanced Ice Age civilization.
Obviously, this is a grift. There's no question that they know that that's bullshit, but they don't stop espousing that position. They will tell you they can prove things wrong that they clearly cannot, as long as it takes to get you to like and subscribe. You're part of Team Science, right? Well, you don't want to be against science, right? You better go with Team Science. It's emotionally driven. Which, again, is the fucking opposite of science. The opposite. Emotions and science have fuck all to do with each other, except for when science is examining emotions. Your emotional state is a hindrance to the scientific method. Clearly, period, end of story. Anybody who will tell you otherwise is a grifter. I want to thank you very much for watching, and I want to point out really quickly that a couple of quick channel updates. Number one, I posted a thing here, here shortly you will see the first video in what will be a long-running series where I fiddle around with Baghdad batteries. But the first one that will be made will be out in a few days. You should enjoy that, because I'm putting it in a clear jar so you can prove that there's not a little hamster running around in there generating the electricity. It's really coming from, you know, whatever goat urine that I harvest and the metals that I stole out of somebody's Minecraft server. The other thing to point out is that I have just opened a second channel. I had this channel for a while. I used to paint miniatures. I still have some around here somewhere. But here's the deal. I got the old carpal tunnel from the electrical work. And so painting isn't as easy as it used to be, so I don't do that anymore. And that second channel, I'm just turning into it's just a channel where Dan does Dan stuff. You know that Charlie guy? He's like Penguin Zero, and he's like, "Hey guys, I'm welcome back, and I'm just in here to..." Yeah, it's going to be basically like that, where you just talk about where the fuck you want, except for it's going to be more in touch with the youth and less, like, about claw machines. And anyway, check it out down below. I'll be discussing Magic the Gathering the first time around, but there will be, generally speaking, just whatever the hell I feel like talking about will be on that channel. So you can go check that out if you'd like. If not, well, fine. Anyway, thanks a lot for watching. I hope to see you soon when we discuss the Baghdad battery, and we've got more to come. Sedona, Arizona, going to be there here in the April 19th and 20th, talking on stage with Graham Hancock, Jimmy Corsetti, freaking Mike Collins. There'd be a shitload of us there. You should come. And also, there's the Cosmic Summit in June, so go to that too. Anyway, thank you very much. Hope to see you next time. Have a good evening, and you don't smoke the crack.